This morning, I want to talk about what God does for those who come to Him and those who are faithful to Him. And the reason I want to talk about this is because coming to God for salvation is just the beginning. You'd be surprised how many people actually believe that once I obey the gospel of Christ, once I put on Christ in my life, that I can just go out into the world and live like I want to work to live because my ticket has been stamped and I am saved. Many religions teach that. It's called the once saved, always saved philosophy, which is totally false. We must remain faithful to God even after we become a child of God. You know, this command of lifetime faithfulness comes to us from Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Now, John, when he's writing this, he is letting the people, the Israelites, know that they are about to be tested. In fact, he says, you're going to be tested for 10 days. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have problems. And it's going to be very difficult for you during this time. But then he says, but be faithful. And not only be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Now what the Revelator is telling these people and us today, our lives must be faithful to God, even if it means death. Now, the exact people that he was writing to in this particular writing was people who are going to lose their lives because they are Christians. And we know from the history books how many hundreds, thousands of Christians who lost their lives by the Roman government during the early days of the church. He is telling them, you can have eternal life, even though this is happening to you. But be faithful to God, even if it means that. So, you know, we read this passage of Scripture and it tells us this, tells us several things. That we must be faithful in our lives regardless of what happens to us in our lives. Now, you know, many times we get the idea that, well, this is just too much. This is just too hard. Christianity is just too hard. And I've been told that by people that I have been studying with who are thinking about becoming a Christian. Christianity is just too hard. I've got to give up too many things that I like. And I have to do too many things that I don't like. And I have to give up a lot of things. And life is going to be hard because I am a Christian. Well, that may be true. We may be here tonight, today, of our own free will. And there may be something out there that didn't want us to be here. And we had to face that. It also tells us that, yeah, these times will be hard and difficult. And you may feel like, I don't want to do this anymore. We have a lot of empty pews this morning from people who have probably said that at one time or the other. I don't want to do this anymore. And then it also tells us that lifelong faithfulness is something that we can do. This is a commandment of God. Be faithful unto death. And we all know that God has never asked anything of us that we cannot do. So we can achieve lifelong faithfulness. And God will not allow us to reach a point in our lives to where we cannot achieve lifelong faithfulness. So this passage tells us, yes, it's going to be hard. Yes, you may be wanting to give up. But don't give up. You can do this. You can get through this. You can reach the end. But it's going to take faithfulness to do that. Now this morning, Billy read to us from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. And this addresses our need to be faithful to God. And it tells us some of the requirements that we must follow in order to be faithful to God. And then it also tells us of the blessings that God will give us if we are faithful. So what I want to do today, I want us to focus our attention on being faithful. What the requirements are, how we actually have to live. And then we'll talk about the rewards that come from it. First of all, faithfulness requires humility. In verses 6 and 7 of our text, it said, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Now, you know, this should be a natural response to knowing God. We should know from the very beginning that if we're going to follow him, if we're going to show him our love, if we're going to give him our devotion, he's going to take care of us. He's going to love us back. He's going to want to do for us and bless us and give us the reward for loving him. But you know, in reality, when we hear this and we see this, it turns into a real struggle. Some people have a hard time following God because they really don't understand and maybe really don't believe that God cares for them. You know, so many people today have the misconception of God that he's up there with a lightning bolt in his hand and he's watching us and he's just waiting for us to do something wrong so he can throw that lightning bolt at us and destroy us. And you'd be surprised how many people, God-fearing people, believe that's the way God works. My friends, this is not the way God works. If God worked that way, his son would have never set foot on this earth. There would have been no blood shed on the cross. There would be no salvation for our souls if God worked this way, and he don't. But sometimes we fail to understand that, and sometimes we feel more confident when we're in control, that we have to be in control. Things have to be done my way because my way is better. And I know a lot of people who believe that. But you know, sometimes it's very hard to relinquish control to someone else. Sometimes that's difficult. Now, I want you to know, I have never felt comfortable riding in a car with someone else driving. And I'll be the first one to admit, I am far from being the greatest driver in the world. If you don't believe that, ask my family. They'll tell you. Because they're all saying, "Daddy, do you see that over there?" That one right there does that all the time. And that's okay. But I'm in control. I guess that's one reason I don't like to fly. And I do not like to fly. And I have flown. And believe me, the best part about flying is when that thing lands and the wheels touch the ground and the wings don't hit first. And the reason for that is because I know that the man that's flying this plane is 100% qualified to fly this plane and he knows how to fly this plane. I'm not talking about you, okay? Because we got a pilot in here and I'm not talking about you. And I know he knows how to fly this plane. But I am 100% putting my life into someone that I do not know, and I hope he does the right thing. And I do not like that. Same thing with a car. I've been in accidents when I've been driving, and I've been in accidents when other people have been driving. But the difference is, when I'm driving, I can turn the wheel. When I'm driving, I can hit the brakes. And I don't know what this fella over here is going to do who's under the wheel. So I'm not comfortable unless I am in control. And I feel like I need to be in control. But you know, from a spiritual standpoint, that's just a little bit different. From a spiritual standpoint, faithfulness requires that we let someone else take control. That we let someone else guide us, direct us, and care for us. We need to understand that God is able to deal with anything that happens to us in life. He is more than capable of handling anything that happens to us in life. And we need to understand, like Paul had to understand, that his grace is sufficient. And we need to sit back and let God handle the things that we have problems with in our lives. When it comes down to it, we need to show humility. And that's what this first point is. Humility and submission to God. Humility requires trusting in God regardless of what happens to us. And everybody in this room, we've all had a lot happen to us that was negative. And sometimes we couldn't do anything about it. That's where the trust in God has to come in. It's just like verse 7 says. He cares for us. You have pledged to him your life. You have given to him your dedication. He's going to care for you. He is worried about you just like you worry about yourself. And he will do what is right for you. And we have to let him do that. You know, I mentioned worry. Worry is actually showing lack of humility. Worry is fretful thinking. Anybody ever do any fretful thinking? I do it all the time. You know, I always think about, well, what am I going to do about this? What am I going to do about that? And basically when I do that, I am telling God, God, I need to fix this my way. You just need to take a back seat and let me handle this. Because I'm worried about it and I know I need to do something with it. Humility, on the other hand, means that you accept the fact that we don't have to fix everything by ourselves. And we don't have to fix everything alone. That we do have help. God says, cast your cares on me. Cast your worries on me. Cast your anxiety on me. Because I care for you. Only when we humble ourselves before God will we be able to cast our cares on him. James tells us in James 4 verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will what? He will lift you up. He will exalt you. Now this word exalt simply means to lift up to a greater position, to a greater honor, to a greater power. This is the same word that was used when Jesus was lifted up upon the cross, John 13 or 3 verse 14. We lift up, God lifts us up. We are being lifted up. So just as Christ faced hardships through the crucifixion, we can be lifted up and God will help us through our hardships in life. You know, this time could have been when Christ is revealed to us that we are able to lift him up. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, for though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when we humbly submit to God, despite our trials, despite our tribulations, we know that God is going to bring us through. Now, he may do it in his own timing, because he will do it in his own timing and not ours. But we need to bring him honor for it. So faithfulness requires humility and trusting in God. Humility requires sobriety and alertness. Verse 8 of our text, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And guess who he wants to devour? You. Me. Faithfulness means that we must be watchful. That's what Peter is saying here. Be watchful, because there's somebody out there that is against you. And you can bet your bottom dollar, everybody in this room who is a Christian, there is somebody out there that don't like the fact that you are a child of God. Oh, they may say, well, I don't care what he does. I don't care what she does. They don't like it, though, because you have given you've given your obedience, you've given your love to a higher power. They don't like that. So we have to be watchful. You know, it's just like one walking down a dangerous trail would be careful and would be alert. We are walking down a dangerous trail. You know, that narrow road that Jesus said we needed to be on, it's not a smooth road. It's not an easy road. It is filled with troubles and trials and potholes and ditches and everything else for that matter. And we have to be careful when we walk down that narrow path. We have to be sober. We have to be watchful. We have to be alert. Faithfulness requires being sober. And I'm not talking about drinking alcohol here. Now, it's true, alcohol does impede and weaken the mental and physical stability of a person. We've all seen that time and time again. We know that is a side effect of drinking alcohol. But this is talking about being rational with our thinking. This is talking about being well balanced in our behavior. Being self-controlled. Being calm and collected in spirit. The unbalanced individual would not fare well on a dangerous road, because he's unbalanced to begin with and is easy to lose control. If we're going to be successful in dealing with Satan and the attacks he puts upon us, we must be rational, we must be calm and collected, and we must evaluate properly the dangers that are before us and be sober. We are also to be alert. Now, this means, again, be attentive. Be cautious as you move along. The idea is not to allow our attention to wander. Has anybody ever wandered in their attention? You ever drive down the road, and my family will tell you I do this all the time. Driving down the road, and I'll see something over here to the side, and I'll start looking at it. And you know, strangest thing with me, when I've got my hands on the wheel, when my head goes, my wheel goes. You know, and that's when they all yell, hey! You have to stay in attention to what's going on around you. As Christians, it is a must that we be attentive to what is around us, because sin is everywhere. Temptation is everywhere. And Satan is going to attack you at times that you do not expect. We cannot afford to be drowsy. We cannot afford to be lackadaisical. We can't afford to just be haphazard in our activities and when it comes to our Christianity. We must be alert with our Christianity. Faithfulness also requires resisting the devil. Resist him, the text said, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. In other words, nothing is going to happen to you that hasn't already happened to somebody else. It's not going to be something that you've not seen before. It's not going to be something that you don't know how to handle. So handle it. That's what it comes down to. The faithful must resist the devil by remaining firm in their faith. Now, you know, we have some encouraging words from James. James chapter 4, verse 7. He said, submit therefore to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, why would you call these encouraging words? Well, they're encouraging because they give us hope that we can overcome the devil. They let us know that if we will trust God, if we will obey God, then he will overcome the devil, and we will be able to overcome the devil. Many times we have to directly confront the devil. And sometimes it's very difficult, and we must be prepared for a fight. You know, sometimes we just can't turn around and run away. We've got to face it. We've got to deal with it. So we have to be prepared. And our success is how prepared we are. We have got to learn each piece of that armor of God that Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 6. We've got to learn how to use each one of those, put it on, and use it. Or we will not be ready to meet the devil. Now, we're not alone in this. Peter reminds us that suffering is a result of the Christian life. Suffering comes when we profess Christ in our lives. Now, you know, we can all think back to the day that we were baptized into Christ, to the day that we become a Christian, and we look at that day with joy, and we look at that day with excitement because we've had our sins washed away. We're starting a brand new life. So it's a time of excitement and a time of joy. But it is also a time when Satan is going to give you more attention than you have ever had before. And when we profess his name, Satan will go to work on us. 1 Peter 4, verse 14. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory of God rests upon you. Now, this is telling us two things. Satan's going to attack. But he's also telling us you have someone now who is on your side. You have someone now who is going to help you overcome. Suffering comes when you reject sin. 1 Peter 4, verse 4. In regard to these, many think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Anybody ever have that to happen? You don't go along with a sin, and what do? Oh, they laugh at you, you baby, you just yelling, you chicken. We don't want to hear stuff like that, do we? No. But we don't need to walk into that mess either, because we are losing Christ when we do. Suffering comes by doing what is good. 1 Peter 4, verse 19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful Christian. Now, you know, this isn't telling us to take pleasure in pain. He's telling us to overcome pain with good. And we can do that. And as I said at the beginning of the lesson, sometimes being a Christian is not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. That's when we have to work through it with God with us. So we need to be encouraged. Yes, Satan will attack. Yes, sin will be a part of our lives. But there are blessings at the end if we persevere. Look at verse 10 of our text. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. He is going to build you up. He is going to strengthen you. He is going to give you what you need to overcome the problems of life. And once you suffer, and you will suffer, there are blessings that will follow. You know, I love the words of Paul in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory with which shall be revealed in us. We're on a long journey, folks. It's a long haul. And we don't see the end yet. But we have to be reassured the end is there. And God is waiting for us at the end. Not only that, he is helping us along the way that we will reach it. So, when we suffer as Christians, please understand, blessings will follow. Let me encourage each of us to live our lives in faithfulness to God. Number one, it will make life better. I won't say easier, but it will make our life better. If we will trust in the hand of God to uphold us, to bless us, to strengthen us, It will. God's hand reaches down to us every day of our lives, because if it didn't, we wouldn't be here. The mighty hand of God will never fail you. We just need to know that. This morning, if you find that you have failed in your Christian walk, repent of that today. Make your life what it should be as a child of God. Put your trust back into the Lord and let Him lift you up. This morning, if you are not a Christian, come to the Lord today knowing that He can cleanse you. He can remove your sins. And He can put you into His family. And He will be your God. And He will help you through life. The troubles, the trials, the tribulations, the rejoicings, the happiness, all. He'll be standing by your side. And there's no one better to have standing by your side. Just remember that God blesses us if we are faithful to Him. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, please come while we stand and sing this song.